This was the final Monday Night Raw before the Elimination Chamber this Saturday in Toronto. And tonight, it was all about the ladies. The ladies stole the show tonight. Two good to very good matches. We had in the main event, the women's tag team titles on the line. Bianca Belair and Naomi defending the titles against Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez. And for the third time, they made history tonight. Liv and Raquel, women's tag team champion. Liv Morgan now has gold once again. And I said it, you know, when I did my Elimination Chamber predictions on the podcast yesterday, I put a little star next to it when I gave my prediction for the women's chamber match. And I said, look, it all depends on how this match goes. It all depends on whether or not Liv Morgan walks out as a tag team champion, because I had picked her to win the chamber. And I said that if she ends up winning these titles tonight, I'm changing my pick. And so I am, in fact, changing my pick for the Elimination Chamber, which we'll get into as we go on here. But that main event turned out to be a hell of a lot better than I was expecting it to be. This turned into a great fucking match. In the main event, you got people hanging on to every near fall in that match. But in the end, yes, we have new tag team champions. They were really playing up the idea that maybe we would get some sort of development on the Jade Cargill thing. I mean, they didn't say that, but they had this long video package, as if this was like a PLE match leading up to the main event. And a lot of it was focused on Jade, you know, and obviously they want you to think that Liv and Raquel were behind the attack on Jade. So I'm sitting here thinking, okay, maybe they're setting up for Jade Cargill to come back tonight, or we're going to get the reveal, you know, for who the real attacker was. And then in the end, there was no Jade. Clearly they wanted to get the titles off these two first, get the titles off of Bianca and Naomi, and then the story can play out the way it's going to play out. And now that we see what happened tonight, I can already see it. I could already picture it in my head. What the, not only the outcome of the women's chamber may be, but who the final two may be, or where it may be going, or what it may be leading to. So we'll talk more about that. But yeah, very good main event. We also had Lyra Valkyria defending the women's Intercontinental title against Dakota Kai. And Lyra is still the champion. That was one of those matches where very quiet to start. The more it went on, the more people sort of warmed to it and got into it. By the time the match was over, I thought it was a good match. But it couldn't hold a candle to that main event that we had tonight. So I thought the ladies really, they killed it here tonight on Raw. But also, we have the WWE champion, Cody Rhodes. And the last time we saw Cody Rhodes, I spent about 30 minutes talking about this on the Sound Off yesterday. One of the most bizarre segments, promo segments that I have ever seen. With The Rock and Cody Rhodes on SmackDown on Friday night. And Cody Rhodes had a look on his face when that segment was over. That he couldn't wrap his head around what was just said to him. But he was on Raw tonight and we were told that he was going to have a response to what The Rock had to say about wanting his soul. The Rock wants Cody's soul. So Cody was on the show tonight, even though he is supposed to be at the chamber on Saturday to give The Rock his answer. We did get him on the show tonight. He was confronted by one of the participants in the Elimination Chamber match. And so we had that segment on the show tonight. We had this great sit-down interview that Jackie Redmond did with Sami Zayn ahead of his unsanctioned match coming up with Kevin Owens. And Penta loses his first match in WWE. And I'm not mad about it. We'll talk about that. This is your Raw on Netflix review. It is Monday, February 24th, 2025. You know who I am. I am the Solemn Monster. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with me here on a Monday night, kicking off the week. I appreciate it very much. Like and subscribe if you have not already done so. I want to give a shout out to Fire Panda, because Fire Panda gifted 10 channel memberships before I even went live tonight. So I want to make sure that I thank the Panda. Thank you, Fire Panda. And you could always gift a channel membership if you would like to do so. Super chats are open. You will see them popping up on your screen. I got to give a shout out to Leopoldo. I don't know if he's with us right now, but Leopoldo Meda dropped a $150 bomb after the stream ended on Friday night. Literally, I ended the stream and he was in the chat talking about showing up late, and I see a red bomb pop up from out of nowhere, and I saw the least I could do is shout him out here on the next show. So, Leopoldo, wherever you may be, thank you, brother. I appreciate it very much. And hopefully Leopoldo will pop his head in tonight. We'll get to see him as well. But yeah, super chats are open if you want to get them on in. I will be reading your messages a little bit later on here in the stream. So let's take it from the top. We had one of the participants in the men's elimination chamber match coming up this weekend, Logan Paul, opening the show tonight. He made his way out to the ring. They were in Cincinnati tonight. He is an Ohio native. Pointed that out. Said, I'm just like you all, except I'm way better. And he was talking about how from his plane, as he was looking out the window, how dreary the city looked. Of course, trying to get that heel heat here. And said that he decided to stick around, though, and come to the show to perform for all the people there. He talked about beating Rey Mysterio to qualify for the Elimination Chamber. Said that he will defeat Three Doorknobs and John Cena on Saturday, and then he'll go on to become the face of the company. CM Punk's music interrupted, so we didn't get too much of Logan before Punk made his way out to the ring. And he gets in, and he wants to know what their problem is. Like, Punk has a problem with him. What's your problem with me? You know, he doesn't understand it. And Punk tells him, look, I don't have a problem. Said that I don't really know you well enough personally to have a problem with you. He said that what I've seen of you, you're a dime a dozen, loudmouth, who does things for a reaction. Paul said that Punk's return was one of the biggest and greatest returns in WWE history, but he cracked under the pressure and he tore his tricep. He said the fans were familiar with names like Stone Cold Steve Austin and John Cena and CM Punk, but that the name of the top guy, whoever the top guy is at any given moment, that's changed over time. You know, we've had a lot of top guys over time. You can go back 30 years, and you could probably pick 10 different top guys that we've had. Says it was only a matter of time before they were chanting his name. And Punk said that there's a lot that Paul got wrong, but he was right about the names that he mentioned. And he said that he, Austin, Cena, are legends who have made history. He said Paul is barely a flash in the pan who will not be around long enough for the fans to remember who he is. And he told Logan that he's going to eliminate him from the Elimination Chamber the way that he eliminated Punk from the Royal Rumble, which is something I had just talked about on the podcast yesterday. So he said he's going to go on to beat Cody Rhodes after he does that at WrestleMania. Said he doesn't care if Cody thinks that he has to sell his soul to beat him. Punk said that in this business, he is Satan himself. And Logan Paul is a nobody. So they went face to face, and this ended with Logan Paul slapping CM Punk hard across the face, and then he took a powder, he left the ring. Paul laughed at him in the aisleway, and he said that, I don't know what came over me, as he was smirking, and he left to the back. Punk told Paul to run while you can, because you're going to be locked in a cage with me on Saturday. You could see that Punk was bleeding from the mouth, so he smacked him pretty hard. And that was the end of the segment. I was waiting for Seth Rollins to come out because we had Logan Paul, we had CM Punk, and there's one more member of the Raw roster who's in this match, and he didn't come out. Turns out he was going to be on the show a little bit later on. We saw Seth Rollins later, that's why he didn't come out here. Satan himself. That line was not there for any other reason other than to feed into something that is clearly coming down the pike. The only question is, what is that going to be? When is it going to happen? There's been all of this discussion all weekend long, including on the Sound Off, about The Rock's promo on Friday night and what it could be leading to. And, you know, The Rock wants Cody to be his champion. And if Cody says no, is The Rock going to end up recruiting another champion? Is somebody else going to step up to be The Rock's corporate champion? And might it be John Cena? Might it be CM Punk? Maybe it's Seth Rollins, right? It could be any number of people. CM Punk is the most intriguing of all of these options, and maybe the most realistic, maybe even more than John Cena, frankly. The Satan line is interesting, though, because he had that same line during the feud with Drew McIntyre, and I don't remember exactly when it was, but at some point during his feud with Drew, he made a very similar comment about how he's the devil, right? Or he could be the devil. So it's not the first time that we've heard Punk say something like that. The fact that he said it tonight, coming off of Friday, and coming off of this discussion that everybody's been having, that is not an accident. It doesn't mean that Punk is going heel, but I think it's foreshadowing something to that effect very soon. So that line was definitely there. It serves a purpose. Other than that, I mean, not much of a segment, really. This was their way of trying to hype up the men's chamber match. But that line there is going to be something to keep an eye on. We had Pete Dunne, Ludwig Kaiser, and the man himself, Penta. Penta, who has been on a hot streak here on this show ever since he debuted against Chad Gable. Tonight, though, he was in his first triple threat match in WWE. Michael Cole called this the first time ever that these three men have squared off. This is a first time ever match, he said, which technically, yes, that is true. This is the first time these three men have been in the ring in a triple threat scenario. But I mean, these two are the only guys that Penta's been working with since the debut match against Chad Gable. He's been working some variation of Pete Dunne or Kaiser pretty much every week ever since. But technically, yes, this is the first time that we're getting this match. Kaiser and Dunne, they set something up in the corner at one point. Penta got underneath them and brought them both down with a powerbomb. And the timing of this, they had gone to a commercial break. And so as soon as they came out of the break, they were already in mid-move. So they did replay it, but like the timing was, for them, it was a little unfortunate. Penta used a Rana to launch Dunne into Kaiser before wiping out both men with flip dives, one on one side of the ring, one on the other side of the ring, took them both out. Dunne managed to hit Penta, though, a little bit later on with the bitter end. Kaiser broke up the pin. Penta then stepped off of the back of a hunched over Ludwig Kaiser, hit Dunne with a Mexican Destroyer. And, you know, it was really on this spot that I noticed this. And this is something that we have seen pretty much every week, honestly, since Penta debuted. And he was already over from night one. You know, there were a lot of people who knew of him. And they, you know, you have fans who just look at him. He just looks cool. You know, the makeup and the mask and everything. The catchphrase, they have a cool entrance for him. But the announcing, it doesn't get mentioned enough. Michael Cole in particular, ever since Penta debuted, during his matches, when he hits a big move, whether it's a dive or whether it's a Mexican Destroyer or whatever it may be, the announcers really put it over in a major way. And that goes a long way towards helping get this guy over as a big deal. Like, they're really like, when he hits that Destroyer, because you don't see anybody else doing that. That's the thing. Like, at the moment, there's nobody else on the WWE roster that consistently, every week, every match, is doing that move. Right? I'm not saying nobody else in the company ever does a Destroyer, but there's nobody else doing it week to week now except Penta. That's his move. And so when he hits it, they put it over as this massive deal. You know, it's not like you have half the roster doing the same fucking move, but it's on the announcers to try to get it over as if it's some major happening. And they're doing that. They're doing a very good job of that with Penta every single week. So I noticed that here in this match as well. Penta super kick Kaiser. Set Dunne up for the Penta driver, but before he could hit it, Kaiser threw Penta out of the ring and then hit Dunne with his finish instead. And Ludwig Kaiser picks up the surprise win here on Raw tonight. Thus, Penta suffers his first loss in a WWE ring. Now, they did everything in their power to show you and to make it very clear to you that Penta, this was his match. Like this, he had the match won, clearly. And that it was Kaiser who snuck in and stole the win, which is why I don't mind what they did here. Penta was not the one to be pinned. Penta didn't get pinned. He didn't take the direct loss, even though it counts as a loss. But now it'll lead to a singles match with him and Kaiser. They're going to run that back again. I'm sure Penta will win. So the way they did it, you know, if he was going to technically lose, this was the way to do it. The guy swooped in. He stole the win from him. Now Penta will have a reason to want to get revenge. They'll be able to get another match out of it, and Penta will win. The other reason I don't mind this so much, you know, Kaiser needed this win more than Penta did. Penta has won every single one of his matches so far. He went to the Royal Rumble. He was number one, or number two, right? Him and Ray were number one and two. And he lasted 42 minutes. He was the Iron Man in the Royal Rumble this year. So they have really put him over in a major way. Ludwig Kaiser goes out there every week. His work is very good. His promos, his facial expressions, right? He's very expressive. His work is very good. He rarely wins. Kaiser goes out there 90 to 95% of the time. He fucking loses. He has to win every now and then, at least, to keep some shred of credibility here. He needed this win more than Penta did. And now there's a reason to actually run this match back. If Penta just went in there and won, it's like, well, what do we need to see him and Kaiser again for, right? Now, well, now there's a reason to see it. So I didn't mind it. It's not a big deal. And again, some people are going to be, oh, yeah, you already beat Penta. They already beat Penta. I haven't seen it yet, but I certainly hope we don't have people using the B word, okay? Let's hope people are smart enough to not start throwing that word around. But yeah, no, it's not a big deal, and they're going to be able to get another match out of it. I think that there's a different path for Penta going into WrestleMania, but there's still time between now and then to get there. And in the meantime, he needs somebody to feud with, and Kaiser's the guy, you know, and it gives Kaiser something to do also. Who said, oh, is it the wrestler in the chat says that his Penta mask has been delayed until May? Is that true? Because they're going to make a fucking killing off those masks. So are all the masks now, are they delayed until May? May's a long time, though. You would think that they would have those masks in time for WrestleMania. So that's disappointing if they don't have them. Jackie Redmond interviewed the women's world champion, Rhea Ripley. She's back from her honeymoon. And she's on social media telling people don't deliver gifts to her fucking house. Apparently there has been at least one fan that has done that recently. Don't do that. Don't do that. Between that and Asuka going on social media and talking about how she doesn't feel safe, and apparently somebody is stalking her, and WWE has to, has protection for her. It's getting scary out there. But Rhea was back on the show tonight, and she said that she's never beaten Io Sky, but it's been 5 years since the two of them have wrestled. Since then, Rhea has become the most dominant woman in WWE. She's beaten everybody from Becky Lynch to Charlotte Flair. And we could add Io's name to that list after their championship match, which is coming up on Raw next Monday. So Rhea Ripley does not have a match at the Elimination Chamber. They're doing this match on Raw next Monday. So that brought out Io. I don't know where she came from. They're like up on the concourse. And so Io walks into frame. And Io says that she's going to beat her again and go to WrestleMania as the women's world champion. And then they got face to face. And that was it. This was pretty weak. This was pretty weak stuff here from Rhea. They had a very limited amount of time. So, I mean, it wasn't as if she was going to cut this long-winded promo. But this really wasn't anything much. It was just a way to get them FaceTime on the show before their title match next week, which I am very much looking forward to. Yeah, I mentioned at the beginning of the stream how the women stole the show tonight. That main event alone could steal the show next week. They give them enough time. You put those two in the ring together. You know, I didn't realize it's five fucking years since those two have been in the ring one-on-one. Their last match, 2020. It's crazy. I'm still not convinced it's a one and done. You know, we'll see what happens coming out of the chamber as far as who wins, but would not at all be surprised if they do some sort of indecisive finish next Monday and then find a way to get Io into that title match at WrestleMania to make it a three-way. I will always prefer one-on-one in these situations, especially at WrestleMania, but Io Sky doesn't have any other obvious match. I mean, I guess the obvious match for her, if she's not in a singles match, it would just be her and, well, Kyrie's hurt, right? Kyrie Sane is hurt, so I guess it would have to be her and Dakota challenging, what, Liv and Raquel for the tag team titles? Who cares? Right? I mean, who cares? I would like to think that they have something better than that for Io Sky, and the only thing that would be better than that would be a women's championship match. So as much as I'd love a clean finish to a great match, if they do the finish next week in a way that protects Io for a rematch, somehow she could work her way in there at WrestleMania, I wouldn't mind that. Now, before the next match, which was between the New Day and the LWO, Joaquin Wilde and Cruz del Toro, not Dragon Lee, New Day came out first. They cut a promo. This was during the commercial break. They're in the ring, and they cut a promo where they said some stuff. They were trying to get heat, and they waited around for some boos. They were waiting around for the crowd to chant New Day sucks. And the crowd really didn't react much. It was kind of sad. You know, they're out there trying to get heat. I mean, some people are booing. But, I mean, it's nothing on the level of what they were getting even like a month ago. Which is not surprising when you consider the way they've been used, right? On television ever since they did the big angle with Big E back in December. Nothing in the stratosphere of what they were getting 6 weeks ago. But as far as the match, Del Toro pulled Woods off the ropes with a Hurricane Rana. Kofi made a blind tag. He held the top rope down. That caused Del Toro to tumble out to the floor. And Del Toro eventually fought free. He made a hot tag. LWO, they hit stereo dives out onto Kingston and Woods at ringside. Back inside, Del Toro put Kofi on his shoulders, and Joaquin went to the ropes. Woods distracted the referee at this point. Kingston raked the eyes of Cruz del Toro, and he shoved Del Toro into the corner, knocking his partner off the ropes, and New Day hit the up, up, down, down, which is the backbreaker diving foot stomp combo, and they picked up the win. At least they're winning. At least they're winning matches, right? It could always be worse. But yes, Kevin is right. When you drag things out too long, it's not even a matter of dragging things out. What are they dragging out? They're not dragging anything out. They're just not doing anything. They haven't done anything. Like, only now are they finally getting consistent television time every week. But there was that very, like, immediate period in the aftermath of that heel turn. Like, that first month, that first 4 to 6 weeks, that was so important, you know, going into the new year. And they didn't capitalize on it. They cooled them off. So now they go out there and they're a heel act and they'll get some heat. But it's nothing like it was before. They squandered it. Doesn't mean they can't get it back. But we were all talking about this right in the weeks after the Big E segment. Like, where's the New Day? I mean, I know we were heading into the holidays and everything. And sometimes, you know, you want to hold off. The Netflix premiere was coming up. Were they even on that show? They were like barely on that show. And it does. It really did. It cooled them down a little bit. But when the match was over here, Kingston and Woods, they worked over Del Toro. Dragon Lee ran out to make the save. He got the better of Kofi. Or he got the better of Woods, rather, until Kofi distracted him. And New Day hit a double powerbomb on Dragon Lee. They had a bitch of a time, though, getting him up. They finally did. And they powerbombed him. You know, Del Toro and Wilde, they don't get much ring time on this show. So, I mean, it was nice to see them in an actual match for a change. But the match itself wasn't really much to speak of. It went 5 or 6 minutes. I thought that they were going to get taken out when the match was... I thought that's where this was going. As soon as New Day attacked them when the match was over, I said, okay, it looks like it's going to play out the way that I was talking about previously. Because the vision that I have for this, right, and I could be wrong as far as where they're going to be taking this, but they took out Rey Mysterio, right, with a leg injury, whatever it was, knee or ankle, it was a leg injury. So that gets him off television for a while, and in the meantime, they could take out each member of the LWO one by one: Cruz del Toro, Joaquin Wilde, Dragon Lee, right. You could play that out over a period of weeks. Until Rey Mysterio comes back, but he comes back and his boys aren't there. There's no Dragon Lee, there's no Cruz del Toro, there's no Joaquin Wilde, but there's two members of the New Day. Now, in a perfect world scenario, the other person who would come out to even the odds would be Big E, right? Clearly, Big E is not cleared. Big E is not going to be wrestling anytime soon. The person for that spot is Penta. So that's why, like, Penta's off right now. He's going to be working with Ludwig Kaiser for at least a few more weeks, and that's fine. By the time they run that angle, if they do that, Penta now has a spot waiting for him in a match at WrestleMania. Penta and Rey against the New Day. So I'm looking at this, and I'm like, here we go. They're going to take out at least one of these guys, right? They're going to go for the knee. Didn't happen, though. Dragon Lee comes out to make the save, and there's still time to do it. Just because they didn't do it tonight doesn't mean they're not going to play it out that way. But that's kind of where I see it going. But beyond that, really not much to speak of here. Finn Balor was in the back. The Judgment Day clubhouse told Dominic Mysterio that last week was the most embarrassing day in the history of the Judgment Day. I feel like every week is the most embarrassing day in the history of the Judgment Day. Said it was all Dominic's fault. Dom said that Balor only had a qualifying match because of him. But Balor lost it. And again, Dominic said that they needed a new member, and Balor said absolutely not. So they're totally getting a new member. Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez interrupted. Morgan could not believe that they were still fighting. She said that they had a big week coming up, including their tag team title match tonight. Plus, Liv, of course, is in the chamber coming up this weekend. She said that they would bring gold to the Judgment Day, and that's all that matters. And Balor said that you should be worried after that stunt that you pulled with Jade Cargill. And Morgan said, well, as much as I'd love to say we weren't involved in that. But they were still going to handle Bianca and Naomi tonight. And Morgan told Balor, get on the same page with Dom and help him out against Bron Breakker later tonight. This next segment, I don't believe, aired on the actual show. But it aired during the commercial break. Kathy Kelly was in the back with AJ Styles, who was in street clothes. Logan Paul interrupted. And Paul thought that AJ, he's like, dude, I really thought you were done after that last injury. He's like, I thought you were going to retire. Or retire after being embarrassed by me in the Royal Rumble, because I believe he eliminated him from the match. And Styles said, yeah, you did eliminate me, but that's how the Rumble works. Styles invited him to try it again. Paul said, well, I would, but I'm a little busy. I'm getting ready for the Elimination Chamber. I'm going to be going on to WrestleMania. But he said he admired AJ for not giving up, even though he probably should. And he walked off. I floated that as a possible WrestleMania match last week. It's either last week or 2 weeks ago. Because I am looking at potential WrestleMania matches for John Cena. And John Cena, Logan Paul is not at the top of my list. So what do you do with Logan Paul then on the WrestleMania card? AJ Styles is brand new to Monday Night Raw, just like Logan is. They've never worked a singles match before. I think it could be a very good match, and it would give both of them something to do on the WrestleMania card. It just makes sense. Logan and AJ. This segment here gives me hope that they're thinking along the same lines. Because I don't see Logan Paul coming out of the Elimination Chamber the number one contender this weekend. Let's put it that way. And that little tease they did a few weeks ago for Bron Breakker and AJ Styles, I don't necessarily think that was a tease for a WrestleMania match. I would do Logan against AJ. The World Heavyweight Champion, Gunther, was on the show tonight. He was dressed, he was in full gear. I don't mean AEW full gear. Like, he was dressed for a match. Had the championship around his waist. Out he comes down to the ring. He said that he would embarrass Jey Uso at WrestleMania. He would end the Yeet Circus once and for all. But in the spirit of WrestleMania, he told Adam Page that I fucked myself up. Adam Pierce, not Adam Page. We'll see Adam Page on Wednesday. He's just been added to the Dynamite lineup. Him and MJF have been added to the Dynamite lineup this week. I got Hangman on the brain. You know what I'm going to have to do? I'm going to have to get Meltzer to take my brain out of my skull to check it, like they did with Shibata. That's what I'm going to have to do. So he said, in the spirit of WrestleMania, he told Adam Pearce that he would wrestle tonight against his own hand-picked opponent, and that opponent was Akira Tozawa. Now, earlier, when Gunther was shown entering the building, he walked by Alpha Academy, and they were filming TikTok videos. So that's what led to this. Tozawa comes out. He's got Otis with him and Maxxine Dupri. Gunther tells, he's got Tozawa in the ring. And he tells him, he goes, you know, I saw you dancing with the other two clowns. And it bothered him. Gunther said, look, you and I, we believe it or not, we don't have a lot in common. But we actually have two things in common. And he mentioned that we both uprooted our lives to make a career for ourselves in WWE. And we both got into the best shape of our life to prove that we belonged. Now, you know, a lot of people talk about the physical transformation that Gunther has had over the years, right? From his Walter days to the way he looks now. And really, I mean, it's amazing. Like, to go from where he was to where he is now really was a transformation. Go check out, if you're not familiar with it, go check out the transformation that Akira Tozawa has had from where he was years ago to where he is today. You talk about transformations, his transformation is pretty impressive too. So they do have that in common. But he said Tozawa was being wasted, dancing like a goof for the degenerate fans. And he made the wrong choice, just like Jey Uso, and Jey's choice would cost him his career. So then Gunther recalled what Pat McAfee said last week, that anything can happen on any given night. And Tozawa had a chance to earn his respect tonight. He told Tozawa to earn his respect, and he started shoving him. Referee called for the bell, and as soon as he did, Tozawa attacked Gunther. He had Gunther off guard for a moment until Gunther booted him and killed him with a chop. Gunther tried a powerbomb. Tozawa, though, countered into a victory roll for a near fall. And Tozawa came off the top rope. Gunther caught him, though, and applied a Boston Crab until Tozawa got a rope break. So Tozawa tried to fight back, man. He's fighting back with chops. Crowd's into it. Gunther plants him with a powerbomb. He had the match won, but then he lifts his head up off the mat before the three count. Like a dick. Gunther then puts Tozawa in a sleeper hold, and Tozawa passes out, so the referee calls for the stoppage. Quick match. Fans were into the near falls here, though. I mean, they really were. They got good heat for this. And this was, I don't even think it went a full 3 minutes, 2.5 minutes maybe. Gunther went after Tozawa when the match was over, so Otis jumped into the ring. Big pop for that. And he made the save. Gunther shoved Otis, who begins gyrating. So Gunther left the ring. He wants no part of that. I don't blame him. He wants no part of that. As Otis went to go check on Tozawa, though, Gunther slipped back into the ring, snuck up behind him, and put Otis in a sleeper as well. Here comes Jey Uso, though, to his music. He comes out from the aisle, just like everybody else. Second week in a row, by the way. No entrance out of the crowd. Normal entrance down the aisle. Cole and McAfee were shown standing in... Now, they do this every week, and I get that Michael Cole is having fun at his job. He's having more fun now than he's had in his entire career. I don't know what he was doing here. Like, we see Cole, he does the, whatever, the handshake. He does the yeet. They cut back to the announcers. They're standing at the desk, and Cole is talking like he's narrating going into the next segment. But as he's doing his job and he's speaking, he's got his hand. He's just like, he's just going like this. Like, what are you? Is he trying to fly? Like, is he trying to fly away? Like, what are you doing? It's over. The segment is over. What are you doing? He's like going like this. And then there was another part of the show where McAfee was making fun of him because he was on Logan Paul's podcast. It's a very good podcast, actually. I'm going to have a clip up on the channel tomorrow talking about some stuff that Cole said that one thing in particular that I take issue with. But during the interview, Cole was wearing a button-down dress shirt. And I thought the same thing when I saw it. And McAfee said it himself tonight. He goes, the buttons on this shirt were fighting for their life to stay secure. And like the shirt was coming apart at the... So he, you know, Pat does the Pat-a-straight or whatever the fuck they call it. And they zoom in on Cole's gut as the shirt is just struggling not to just open up. I don't know what he was wearing there. That's quite the choice. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know. He was waving his arms yeeting, but it didn't look like the normal yeet. I don't know what he was. I don't think he knows what he's doing half the time that he's out there, but he looks like he's having fun doing it. As far as what this was here, this was fine for what it was supposed to be. It wasn't an open challenge or anything like that for the title, God forbid. Fucking Tozawa coming out challenging for the world heavyweight title. Give me a break. This was probably a one-off type segment, so it was fine. It was a way to get the two of them on the show, you know, Gunther and Jey, since neither of them are on the Elimination Chamber show. So at least they were on the show tonight. Now we had our first of two women's championship matches. on this show. Cole had his little cousin shirt on. I think he had his son's shirt on from, it was probably the shirt that he bought his son 20 years ago. Our first of two women's championship matches on this show. Lyra Valkyria defending the Intercontinental title against Dakota Kai. It was like pulling teeth for these two women to get a reaction in the first half of this match. Coming out of the break, though, Lyra hit a delayed vertical suplex off the middle rope and landed it. That got a great reaction. Even got some holy shit chants from the crowd. And from that point forward, they had the crowd. You know, so sometimes it just takes that one big spot, that one big move. That got a reaction. And from that point on, they actually had people into the match. Dakota came back with a scorpion kick. They traded cradles. Lyra bridged out of one out of a jackknife cover. Hit a powerbomb for two. Lyra came off the top rope. Dakota caught her with a super kick and followed that with a running boot and then her chiropractor move for two. So they jockeyed for position on the ropes until Valkyria slipped out, gave Dakota her Nightwing finish, and she retains the Intercontinental Championship. Not a long match, but it turned into a good match. It didn't look like it was going to be a match that had a ton of heat to it, but again, they really got them into it down the stretch. When the match was over, Lyra, she embraced a very disappointed Dakota. Dakota leaves the ring. As she's walking to the back, Ivy Nile comes out. And she grabs Dakota. She throws her into the barricade. She makes a beeline for the ring. She lays out Lyra. And she poses with the Intercontinental title. And that is how the segment came to an end. Because they've been teasing this match now for weeks. Obviously, it's coming soon. And we would see Lyra, or not Lyra, but Ivy in a backstage segment a little bit later. Yeah, I did a whole segment on the show this weekend about the frustration. There was a report that was out from Fightful. And I think it might have been Masked J, I think, from PW Nexus on Twitter. But they had a report that came out about frustration that is mounting in the WWE women's locker room. Not amongst all of the women, but enough of them that, for example, have reached out to Sean Ross Sapp anonymously to express frustration with various things that are going on as far as the women's division, the amount of time they're getting on TV, how they're being used relative to how the women are being pushed in NXT. It's like night and day. You know, what Shawn Michaels is doing down there as opposed to what we see on the main roster, the way the mid-card titles have been booked so far, a lot of frustration being expressed. And I said, you know, one of the issues is the treatment of these mid-card titles so far. You have two of them. And forget the fact that you had both mid-card champions a couple weeks ago, both got pinned on TV in the same week in non-title matches. They were pinned in non-title matches on the show, and they didn't even make it out to be a big deal. And neither of these titles have really been treated in any kind of, I would say, serious way so far. And Lyra Valkyria went a month without even having a match after she won the championship. So when you have somebody like Ivy Nile last week who was on the show and wrestled to crickets, right? I mean, it's no surprise, you know, why that would be. Because Ivy Nile is someone who has not really been featured in any meaningful way on these shows. They kind of throw some of these people out there and it's like, oh, they're going to be up next, I guess, to challenge for the title. A title that nobody cares about. And a person challenging for it that we have not been given a reason to give a shit about. So Ivy Nile now is going to be up next challenging for the Intercontinental Championship. I certainly hope when she's in there with Lyra, they can, you know, get the fans into it. It's not like the crowd's been given a reason to care, and it doesn't help that Ivy is part of a faction that all they do is lose. Now, the Creed brothers are challenging the Viking Raiders, or the War Raiders, for the tag team titles next week. I happen to think that the Creeds are going to win those titles. If the Creed brothers go to Raw next week and they lose to the Vikings, I don't know what else to say. Like, I give up. As far as this faction goes, like, I give up. You know, part of the story was Chad Gable was going away for a while. He said, when I come back, you better have gold. So I'm expecting the Creeds to win. And frankly, I think that Ivy Nile is probably going to win that championship from Lyra Valkyria. So when Chad does come back, they'll all have gold, just like he wanted them to. But if that doesn't happen, I don't know what the point of even keeping them together is at that point. They're booked like losers. Ergo, people look at people like Ivy as a loser, and that shouldn't be. So you could see why there would be a lot of this frustration, you know, bubbling up behind the scenes. It's not that hard, you know, to just come up with some interesting ideas for people that aren't Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair and Tiffany Stratton and Nia Jax. Got a whole roster of women. Not all of them can be top stars, but you could at least come up with stuff for them to do that's interesting. Give people a reason to invest and care about these characters so that when they come out there on television, people will react. They'll boo. They'll cheer. They won't just sit on their hands. Because that's the worst thing they could do. Today's episode is sponsored by HelloFresh. If you're tired of trying to figure out what you're eating for dinner every night, I know that frustration, personally. All right, what do I want? I don't have enough time to spend a couple of hours cooking up something good, but I'm tired of the same old stuff all the time. Well, you don't need to be tired of it anymore because HelloFresh is here to make things a hell of a lot easier. That's why HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit. Now, you don't even need to make a trip to the grocery store to grab what you need. HelloFresh makes home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. Their new ready-made meals go from the fridge to your fork in just 3 minutes. Made with the same high-quality ingredients and restaurant-quality flavor that you expect from HelloFresh without any of the work. And there's over 100 add-on items that you can add to your weekly box, like quick breakfasts, packable snacks, beverages, and more. HelloFresh offers a flexible plan to match your lifestyle, and each week you'll get a box with step-by-step instructions, complete with nutritional information, and fresh, pre-measured ingredients to get you whipping up delicious meals in no time. And if you ever need to cancel or change meals or skip a week, they've got you covered. Now, I can tell you, well, look, I got a bunch of meals recently. They shipped them to my house, packed them in real good, too, with the dry ice and everything, the whole deal, to make sure that everything was fresh before I put it in my fridge. And there was one meal that I had in particular. Yeah, I stay away from anything cheesy or creamy because I just can't have it. But they had chicken ramen in a shoyu-style broth on the menu that week with mushrooms and crispy onions. And it was so good. So good. And they sent me the box with all the ingredients already inside and a giant card listing everything out step by step. Here's what to do. Here's when to put this in. Which is perfect for an idiot like me because I'm sure I would screw something up without it. But it's all right there for you. And there was enough there for two people. So you could even share it with someone else. Or maybe there's some left over even, right? I mean, I certainly was not left wanting more. Like if you're hungry and you're worried that you'll still be hungry, I certainly wasn't. And the whole experience was super easy, and it probably took me around, I would say, 40 minutes or so, right? Some meals take less, some meals may take a little bit more, but for dinner, it wasn't very long at all. Get up to 10 free meals and a free high-protein item for life at HelloFresh.com/HelloFreshPodcast. One item per box with active subscription, free meals applied as discount on first box, new subscribers only, it varies by plan. That's up to 10 free HelloFresh meals. Just go to HelloFresh.com/HelloFreshPodcast. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. With Jackie Redmond, she conducted a sit-down interview earlier in the day with Sami Zayn ahead of his unsanctioned match coming up at Elimination Chamber this weekend. She mentioned Owens' video. Kevin Owens recorded that video that they aired on SmackDown on Friday night where it showed him outside Sammy's house, looking through the window. We saw Sammy and his wife and his kid. So she said something else happened this past week, and she asked if Sammy would like to share what that was. And he said, yes, I was actually outside Kevin Owens' house. But he wasn't home. But his mother was. And she saw him, and obviously she knows who he is. They've been friends since they were kids. So she was very happy to see him. Apparently, she doesn't watch WWE television. Hey, Sammy, what's going on? Come over. Come on over, Sammy. Let's talk, Sammy. Let's have a conversation.
Come on, Sammy. It's look at you. Sammy, my God. Look at you. I haven't seen you in forever. How you doing? How's the wife? How's the kid? Look at picture. You look like you lost weight. What's going on? Why are you holding your neck for? You don't come over anymore. I made cookies. I made a pie. Come on in and talk to me.
They were having a whole conversation, these two. So he said he did. He went off to go talk to KO's mom, and he said that it was great. She was looking, she was in great spirits, and she's in great health. Because if you remember, Kevin's mom, legitimately, she was in the hospital last year for a while. And I think it was touch and go for a while. Thankfully, she was able to pull out of it. But Sammy said he got home that night, and he was ashamed of himself. Said that he couldn't look at himself in the mirror because he didn't recognize the man who went to Kevin Owens' house. And he didn't know what his intentions were. He doesn't know what he would have done. But he says whatever it was, it would not have been good. So Zayn and Owens, they said, you know, they've gone through a lot over the years, he says. Family, though, has never been involved. It's always been between the two of them. Family has never been a part of the equation. Zayn didn't recognize himself, and he doesn't recognize Kevin Owens. That's why this one's different. This match coming up, this whole situation with the two of them now, as compared to all the other times we've seen them one-on-one, this is different. He understood why WWE wouldn't sanction the match, and he admitted that his neck is not where it needs to be, thanks to what Owens did to him. This match would be worse, though, than anything else that they have done to each other. All the wars, all the battles that they've been in. This is going to be far worse than any of that. I mean, I find it hard to believe that this is going to be worse than the ladder war that they had years ago, but he set the bar awfully high. I'll say that. But he says, Owens better be ready because it was going to be a bad time. This was great. The way he delivered it, he had tears in his eyes. You know, I mean, you could watch this guy and believe that he really was. Like, he was deeply upset at what has happened between him and his former friend. And this was not funny Sami Zayn. This was not Sami Zayn. This was Sami Zayn sitting there going, look, basically in so many words, dude, I'm going to fuck you up. Like, this is going to be the end of you for what you did to me. And you're coming to my house. You're a peeping Tom now, too, on top of being an asshole. Shit's going down this Saturday. And you could read it on his face. So this was very well done. Bayley was interviewed. I believe this was during the commercial break, interviewed backstage by Kathy Kelly, until she was interrupted by Roxanne Perez, who said that Bayley needs to get in her big fat head. Get it in your big fat head that this is Roxanne's era. And Bayley told Roxanne that she could envision seeing her at WrestleMania, just not this year. Oh, I think there's a very good chance. That's exactly what we're going to see at WrestleMania this year. So we had Dominic Mysterio one-on-one with Bron Breakker. This was non-title. See, Dom was upset about the accidental spear. Was it last week? I believe it was last week. So he requested this match. It seems like a bad idea. So Bron was firmly in control until one distraction too many came from Carlito. That allowed Dom to hit a springboard senton. Another distraction allowed Dominic to hit a 619. Dom set up for a frog splash. Bron, though, ran up, hit the Frankensteiner, and he set up for a spear. He got yanked out of the ring, though, by Finn Balor and Carlito. He got sent into the ring steps for the disqualification. Judgment Day's putting the boots to the champion after the match. Balor went to go look for a chair. While he was doing that, Breakker backdropped Dominic out of the ring. He cut down Carlito with a spear. Balor slides into the ring, and Breakker, he's right there on all fours to meet him. And they're face to face. Breakker looks like he's, honestly, the face that he makes, like that intense face, it looks like the face of somebody who is suffering from extreme constipation. It's not fun. So, but he had that look on his face, like he was about to explode. And so Balor thought better of it and he left the ring. Was it so important to protect Dominic that they couldn't just have the Intercontinental Champion beat this fucking guy and then have the Judgment Day attack him when the match was over? You had to do the stupid DQ finish. That was my only gripe with this. Unless they're going to run it back and give Dominic a rematch for the title next time. But was it really that important? You couldn't give Bron Breakker the win via pin and then have them jump him when the match was over? There was a New Day promo during the break. They were up in the crowd. They were already in their street clothes, they said, because they couldn't wait to leave Cincinnati. And they announced that they were going on vacation next week in Costa Rica. They told everybody to thank God for the New Day. Backstage, the Creed brothers were hyping up Ivy Nile. And Kathy Kelly asked one of the most important questions I think that has ever been asked in a backstage segment like this. Kathy Kelly asks Ivy Nile if she was trying to angle herself back into the Intercontinental title picture with what she did tonight. Gee, Kathy, I don't know what gave it away. Very perceptive. So, of course, Ivy said, yes, of course, that's exactly what I'm doing. Nile said that the Creeds were going after the tag belts next week and she would beat up Lyra every single week until she got an Intercontinental title match. And at that point, the War Raiders showed up, they attacked the Creeds, and the officials had to get between them to separate them. So we will get that match next week. And then we had the WWE champion, Cody Rhodes, out to the ring after the most bizarre segment that I have maybe ever seen. He was out to the ring to address The Rock's offer from SmackDown on Friday night. Cody stood in the ring and said he's pretty sure that he knows what he and the Cincinnati fans are supposed to be talking about tonight. And he asked, what does it mean to ask for a man's soul? Cody said that is rather abstract phrasing, but having grown up in the business, he can read between the lines and understand the offer that the final boss made him. It's good guy 101 for him not to lie to us. And he hasn't, and he's not going to start now. He says he does need us to know that he is an incredibly blessed man. Said this decision he needs to make at Elimination Chamber doesn't just affect him. By the way, this whole, like, he's struggling here to make a decision. Give me a break. Come on, man. Like, you got everything, dude. You got everything. You're the face of the company. You are everything that you ever wanted to be in this life, in this company, right? Beautiful family, face plastered on all the trucks, right? You're doing all kinds of media. You got all kinds of merch. WWE champion now for almost a year, right? You're living the dream. You're living the American dream. But he is struggling. He is struggling with this decision. It's really quite ridiculous when you think about it. But he says this decision that he needs to make doesn't just affect him. It affects his wife, Brandi Rhodes. It affects his daughter, Liberty, his sister, little Brody, the Nightmare Factory, two nephews who are breaking into the business right now with the last name Rhodes, his mother, and the memory of his father. And of course, that got Chance of Dusty from the fans here in Cincinnati. Says Dusty worked into his 60s on the independent wrestling circuit, breaking his body to make ends meet, and he did not want that memory to mirror his future. I mean, unless he's made some bad investments, I don't think he's going to have to worry about that. Then again, I guess Shawn Michaels made bad investments, right? He had to be JBL's slave all those years ago. Remember that? He made some bad investments. And he had to basically be at the beck and call of JBL. I hope Cody's not invested in the stock market. Says The Rock was saying that he could have everything without having to scratch, fight, and claw. So before Cody could say any more, Seth Rollins made his entrance. And he walked out there and it looked like he was, I don't know, it looked like he was wearing a red raincoat. And even still, this was probably the most normal that he has looked. I think lately he's been dressing a little less lavishly. It's a little less ridiculous. He's not out there with the clown costumes, the Super Mario boots, moon boots, whatever the hell they are. But this was the first time that these two have shared the ring together since WrestleMania 40. Rollins said that he would love for it to be a moment here tonight of celebration. He would love to talk about how proud he is of Cody and shake hands and say how he can't wait to face him in the main event at WrestleMania 41. But instead, he has to ask Cody, what the hell are you thinking? He said, we stood side by side together against the Bloodline. Now The Rock is back to ask you to be his champion? He's back to ask you to sell your soul? The fact that you didn't slap The Rock in the face immediately is a slap in my face. Don't make me regret everything that I sacrificed to help you win that championship. Is the WWE Championship too much of a burden for you? Because it's not for me. Cody said he wishes this conversation was going differently. He would like to express some gratitude. But Seth sounds like he's being a little judgmental. Because Rock didn't ask for Seth's soul because it might already be compromised. Said that he knew Rollins very well. He knew exactly who he was. Rollins once hit him in the back with a sledgehammer. He turned on the Shield and he saddled up with the Authority and he ran people like Cody out of WWE, which is true. I think they even fired him, right? Didn't the Authority fire Cody and Goldust at one point? Cody also knows that Seth was his Shield and his partner at WrestleMania last year, and he was the MVP of that night. Rollins said that he wasn't there to judge Cody. He wanted to protect him from making the same mistakes that he did, and Rollins has been filled with hate before. The hate was pointed in the direction of Roman Reigns and CM Punk. Rollins didn't want to hate Rhodes also, but Rhodes was a grown man. You could do whatever you want. Rollins said he planned on winning the Elimination Chamber, and he did not want to face a soulless shell of Cody Rhodes. And he wanted to face the man who came back to WWE and beat him at WrestleMania, the man who beat him with one arm. Rollins said that he wasn't coming for Cody's soul, but he was coming for Cody's title. Rollins was the right guy to confront Cody, I would say, you know, given his history with Cody. You know, he's absolutely right, if you think about it. Like, last year at WrestleMania, I mean, not only did he lose his title, but he did come out at the end of WrestleMania, right, night two, and he sacrificed himself. He dressed up as Shield Rollins, and the first thing when he got in the ring that happened was he got Superman punched. I remember I laughed my ass off that night when I saw that. Because they went through this whole rigmarole where you hear the Shield music. Oh my God, where's he coming from? Why are they playing the Shield music? And then here comes Rollins, and as soon as he gets into the ring, Roman punches him in the face, and he's like a dead fish, like he's out cold in the ring. And I'm like, fucking geek. And he's just laying there on the mat, but he sacrificed himself. And then when they did the thing where Roman has the chair and he's got to make a choice, what does he do? Do I hit Cody with it? Do I hit Seth with it? Right? He couldn't let it go. Couldn't let it go with Seth. It's like De Niro in Heat with Wayne Grow. If he would have just kept driving, man, he would have gotten away. Neil would have gotten away. But he had to turn the car around and go back just to kill that guy. Put the chair right in Seth's back. And it ended up costing him. Seth was the sacrificial lamb. And now Cody is potentially considering this offer that The Rock has made to him. The logic is sound. I mean, I could see that, right? That, to me, that makes sense. But as far as where it's going to go and what answer is Cody going to give The Rock, I mean, look, Cody Rhodes is not going to the Elimination Chamber to tell The Rock, you know what, Rock? I think I'm going to take you up on that offer. Shake his hand. New corporate champion, right? It's not happening. I know people are begging and hoping for a Cody Rhodes heel turn. It's not happening here. What happens when he rejects The Rock is what could be very interesting. That's what I'm interested to see. Is it something that plays out on Saturday? Let's say that segment is in the middle of the show and they close the show with the men's chamber. Are we going to have some big development at the end of the chamber? Or are we not going to get it until later on? Maybe not until WrestleMania, right? If there does end up being somebody else who sells their soul to The Rock. That's where this story could get very interesting. We'll see. A lot of different possibilities. I talked extensively about this yesterday, like the different ways this could go, why this guy makes sense, and this really wouldn't make too much sense. You got Cena, you got Punk, you got McIntyre, Rollins. Rollins would make sense. Rollins has already done it before. He's already sold his soul. Right? It happened once before. It could happen again. We'll see. In the back, Jey Uso was in the trainer's room, and he was there to check on Akira Tozawa after what happened earlier, and he handed him an ice pack, thanked him for his help. As he was leaving the trainer's room, he was confronted by Austin Theory and Grayson Waller, and they insulted him, and Jay's initial response was a bunch of hand gestures. He did yeet. This is how he communicates, apparently. Then he actually spoke real words, and he said that everybody is doubting him, and again, he yeeted. I'm doing my best to describe this here, but that's basically what this was. He was trying to get the yeet line from the live crowd. So as he goes to, now when he did the yeet, Austin Theory did it as well, and Waller's like, what, you're doing that now? And they started arguing. Jay had disappeared out of camera frame. All of a sudden, he super kicks Waller and leaves Waller laying, and that's how the segment ended. So, okay. Not really much of a segment, but there you go. But they closed the show. Enough about that. This was the best part of the show right here. They closed the show with Bianca Belair and Naomi defending the women's tag team titles against Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez. Bianca and Naomi, they jumped the challengers before the bell even rang, worked them over outside. Bianca and Naomi, they tossed Raquel over the barricade into the timekeeper's area. She smacked the pavement pretty good, too. So they took her out briefly. Morgan got rolled back inside, and the referee finally called for the bell. Raquel did return, I would say maybe like a minute and a half later. Tripped Bianca while the referee was distracted, and Raquel ran Bianca into the barricade. That took us into the final commercial break of the show. After that break, Naomi took Raquel out with a springboard X-Factor back into the ring, and then a blockbuster off the top. She tagged in Bianca, who landed a 450 splash. This 450 splash did not land flush. This 450 splash, she landed on her with a knee to the face, it looked like. Her knee was up there pretty high. But she landed the 450 as best she could. Raquel kicked out, even still. Bianca tried for a KOD. Raquel raked the eyes to escape and then tagged in Morgan. And they hit an assisted codebreaker that looked absolutely brutal. They used this move also, I think, last week on TV. It's actually a great tag team maneuver. And when she hits that codebreaker, it looks devastating. Liv covered Bianca. She kicked out. And my favorite part of this is after Bianca kicks out, Liv gets back up to her feet. And Liv is standing there and she's, and very audibly, you don't just have to read her lips, but like you could hear it. She looks over at Bianca and she just goes, get the fuck up. She's like, get the fuck up. And she tried for Oblivion, but Naomi tagged in. And the champions tried for a double KOD. Here comes Dominic Mysterio. He ran out. He hops up on the apron for the distraction. Raquel takes Naomi down with a Tejana bomb. And Liv then hits Oblivion. This was a convincing near fall right here, because I thought that this was going to be the end of it. She covers Naomi, and she had it won. Naomi, though, ends up being saved by Bianca, who breaks up the pin. So Raquel tried something with Bianca. I don't know what she was going for, but Bianca speared her. All four women are down. Now we have the "This is awesome" chant from the crowd. Naomi tags in Bianca. KOD to Liv Morgan. Raquel breaks up the pin. So Naomi plants Raquel with a heat seeker on the apron. Bianca tags Naomi in. They set Liv up for a double KOD, and they nail it. But Liv Morgan, she rolls close enough to the ropes to where Dominic is able to grab her foot and place her foot on the bottom rope. And the fans boo. They didn't like that very much. That saved the match, basically, for the heels. Bianca went after Dom outside, ended up lifting Raquel on her shoulders when Raquel came after her. She lifts Raquel up for a KOD. Raquel slips out, dumps Bianca on the announce desk. Naomi wipes out Raquel with a dive, but when she gets back in the ring, Liv goes for Oblivion. Naomi holds on to the ropes, though, so she's able to avoid it. There was a close roll-up attempt that Naomi kicked out of, and then she wiped out Liv with a rear view. I mean, she got a full view, and she got just wiped out with it. Naomi then kicked Dominic off the apron. Here comes the split-legged moonsault. She's going for the kill shot here. Raquel, though, grabs Naomi's leg. The referee doesn't see any of this. Our referee's attention is diverted. So Raquel grabs her leg so she can't hit the split-legged moonsault. Naomi reaches down, pulls her up onto the apron. And what Raquel does is she yanks her forward and she smacks, Naomi does, the top of her head into the top of the ring post. It's not really the post. It's the ring post casing. And she yanks her head into it. And Naomi falls backwards into the ring. Liv covers her. One, two, three. And just like that, we have new tag team champions. And I guess history made for the third time. Tag team champions. The crowd here, they were biting on every near fall here in those waning minutes. Like, this turned into a hell of a match. And they had the crowd buying into the near falls. This was great. Now, no Jade Cargill return, no big development in the Jade story, even though they were really playing that story up, especially in the video package before the match. I thought we might be getting something here at the end of the show. That's why they put this in the main event spot. Well, they put it in the main event spot because we got a title change. That's why. And they want, and you could hear the announcers were talking about how all the momentum now is with Liv Morgan going into the Elimination Chamber. She just won the tag team titles. Can you imagine? Right? If she goes now to the Elimination Chamber and she punches her ticket to WrestleMania, she's the crown jewel champion, right? All these accomplishments that she's had. Is she going to add the chamber to that list? So that's what they wanted to go off the air with. It seems to me like they wanted those titles off of Bianca and Naomi before we get the return of Jade and the reveal of who the real attacker is. And it makes sense if the attacker is either Bianca and or Naomi, right? Get the titles off them. So now the titles are out of the equation. You don't have to worry about the titles anymore. You clear the path now for whatever's going to come next. You know, this next chapter of the story. But with that win for Liv and Raquel, I'm hereby changing my prediction. I said that I would change my prediction if they won the titles, and they did. So I'm no longer predicting a Liv Morgan win in the Elimination Chamber. I'm predicting a Bianca Belair win in the Elimination Chamber. And what I'm thinking here, we may well see Jade Cargill at the Elimination Chamber. If not at the Chamber, then definitely on SmackDown next Friday. Friday after the Chamber. What I think we may be looking at here is a final two in the Chamber of Bianca and Naomi. Bianca wins, and we get the Naomi heel turn. Now, if they do the Naomi heel turn, and they don't have Jade there, it kind of gives it away, right? So I don't know if they want to wait until Jade is there and then have the reveal if it does turn out to be Naomi. They may not want to do it that way, but this is what I'm kind of picturing now in my head. It comes down to the two of them. Bianca wins. Naomi's going heel. When Jade comes back, she's going to make Naomi her target. Because I still feel like Naomi is the one behind this. Somebody wrote into the podcast with a very interesting idea yesterday. Kind of expanding on the possibility of Naomi being the culprit. And saying, what if it turns out that it was Naomi and Lash Legend and Jakara Jackson from NXT? And this could be their call-up to the main roster. Because we've seen them on the main roster before, but it wasn't a full call-up. But what if this is their way of introducing them and they're part of a new crew with Naomi, led by Naomi? So Naomi is still the culprit, but it's also the two of them. And it was all three of them. And so that way, you know, to kind of take Jade out, it's more believable that way instead of it being just one person. Of course, it doesn't really matter. I mean, if she got shoved off a platform, all it takes is one shove from one person. You don't need three people to do that. It is an interesting idea, though. I don't think you can rule out something like that, having it be more than one person, maybe led by Naomi. But I've just suspected Naomi this entire time. It was Bayley initially, but Naomi. And the way that she's acted sometimes in these backstage segments is very, very sus. Let's put it that way. So I think that's what we're looking at the Chamber. I think we may come down to those two. But I'm going with Bianca now. I think Bianca Belair wins. We get Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair, unless they want to work Io Sky into the match, and it could be Rhea, Io, and Bianca, which would be a hell of a match. But Rhea and Bianca is a WrestleMania match I've wanted to see for a few years now. And I worry that the kind of the build to it might feel rushed. But there is a way to do it, you know, even though the match wouldn't be official, you'd have all of March and you'd have half of April, you know, to hype up the match. It's still a match I would like to see. I'm looking at the other participants in the match, right? I don't think Liv has any chance now. Now that she won the tag, they're not just going to have her win everything. Okay, so I really, Liv has fallen to the bottom or near the bottom of the list for me. Roxanne Perez is barely on the main roster. She's had one match on Raw, right? She was just in her first Rumble. This is going to be her first Chamber. I cannot envision a scenario where they have Roxanne win and they do Rhea and Roxanne at WrestleMania. It's too soon for that. Bayley, there is a chance. I think that with Bayley, there definitely is a chance with Bayley. I don't think it's a very good one. Can't rule it out completely. I'm not expecting it, though. Naomi is not winning. And that leaves Bianca, and then that leaves Alexa Bliss. Can't rule out Alexa Bliss either. Alexa Bliss, though, she just got moved from Raw, where she was going to be, to SmackDown. So the idea that you just moved her from one brand to the other, and now you're just going to have her challenge for the championship on the other brand. Like, I get that Bianca is part of the SmackDown roster, but she's been part of the SmackDown roster. Like, Alexa is brand new. Why is she now going to be spending a lot of her time on the other show? It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But you can't listen to that reaction that Alexa got when she came back at the Royal Rumble and say that she's not over enough to be in a spot like that, right? She's plenty over. I can't say no, but I just think Bianca is, I think she's the favorite. I don't see how anybody but her is the favorite right now, you know, going into this Chamber match. So, you know, it's very interesting. You have two Elimination Chamber matches now where the winner is not so obvious. I mean, it's easy in the men's match to say that, well, it's going to be John Cena or it's going to be CM Punk. Probably. And I go back and forth on which one it's going to be. I'm still sticking with John Cena. But I go back and forth on you know, either one of those guys. Can you completely rule out Seth Rollins? Can you completely rule out Drew McIntyre? No, I don't think you can. I think you can rule out Logan Paul. I think you could rule out Damian Priest. But there's still, you know, there's an unpredictability there going into both of these matches. Less so now on the women's side after what we saw tonight. But I thought it was a pretty solid episode overall. I can't say I was expecting much because it is the final show before the Chamber. But I thought what they gave us tonight was actually pretty good. I enjoyed that main event a lot. And now we forge ahead to the Elimination Chamber. I will be live after that show, by the way. I didn't mention that on the podcast, but I will be live on Wednesday night, Friday night, and then Saturday after the Chamber. So I'll have a full review at that point. Let's take a look at the Twitter poll. What did you think of the final Raw on Netflix before the Elimination Chamber? Nearly 80% thumbs up for tonight's show. 20.3% thumbs down with over 1,100 votes in and counting. Oh boy. I invoked the name of Alexa Bliss and I just looked over at the chat and I see Bliss Fan is on a posting rampage here. I haven't been able to read all the messages, but I see Bliss Fan is... I see him. It's like ringing the dinner bell for the cat. You know? You invoke the name. It's like say his name and he appears. Like Joe Hendry. Bliss Fan is our Joe Hendry.
I have the best moveset.
The best moveset. Only the best. Thank you, Hydrograd. Thank you all. We're going to get into your super chats now. Thank you to the 1,500 plus that we had here on this stream and our new subscribers. You guys are awesome. Let's check out your messages here. Love this music. Love it. Let me check the early messages first. Hey, honey deep fried chicken with flavor. It's our first of the night. Let's backtrack here. Honey deep fried chicken says, I'm going to be a bad boy chicken tonight. This chicken right here would love to see a Logan Paul MJF slap fest. Slap each other in the future. Well, have at it. Whatever you want. We all have our wants and desires. That's kind of a weird one, but okay. It says, my four choices who can be Rock's corporate champion are John Cena, CM Punk, Drew McIntyre, or Randy Orton as a dark horse. You can't rule it out completely. I think there are better choices than Randy Orton, though, for that spot. Chris O'Neill says, Bianca definitely winning the chamber. Naomi heel turn this Saturday. See, we think along the same lines. Thinking the same thing. You want to know the name of the song? It's called Hardline by Sandman. Great song. Hey, Thomas Rondon, thank you for the 13 months of channel membership. Honey Deep Fried Chicken says Shang Tsung from Mortal Kombat wants you to hit that dislike button and unsubscribe from the channel. Liu Kang, on the other hand, needs you to hit that like button and subscribe to the channel. That's right. Fuck that Shang Tsung guy. Don't listen to him. Scumdog 420. Hey, Solo, just showing some support for the channel. I love all the great content that you put out. Hey, Scumdog, I'm glad you enjoy the content. Thank you very much, brother. Thank you, sir. Let me check the likes and see where we are. We are at 432 likes. We need 450 for Be the Booker tonight. We're pretty close. This journey called life. It's storyline, but damn, I can't believe Logan smacked my boy CM Punk like that tonight. I don't appreciate it. I truly despise him. It says, how do you feel about current Rock's corporate angle? Dude, we had one segment on Friday. We don't even know how it's going to play. We're all just assuming it's kind of a corporate champion, sell your soul kind of angle. We don't know any. It's been one weird, bizarre, honestly not that good segment. It was a bad segment, I think, on the whole. But that's all it is so far. So what do I think of the angle? I think the angle has great potential, but I can't tell you what I think of the angle itself because the angle hasn't played out yet. Give it a few weeks. We'll see kind of where it's going. I think the potential is great, though. A lot of fun directions it could go in, that's for sure. Joseph Stewart, do you think Dominic Mysterio versus Braun Breaker will be a future WrestleMania main event match? No. A WrestleMania main event match? No, I don't think so. And he says, not a wrestling question, but do you remember the TV show In the Heat of the Night with Carol O'Connor and Howard Rollins? Yes, I'm aware of it. I didn't watch it, but I am aware of it, yes. I'm aware of its existence. EJ Slemp, I will not cheer for AJ Styles until he learns to wear a cup. Apologizes to Paul Heyman and acknowledges a globe. I can't cheer for stupid. You know, he didn't say that he believes the earth is flat. He's heard things, though. He's heard things. Yeah, I hear stupid things every day. Fire Panda with a $49 super chat. Hot take. Says Cole is to Dom what JR was to Triple H. Anytime Cole gets angry with Dom, all I hear is, "You cost Austin the title, you son of a bitch." Was that on the first Raw of the new year in 2001 against Kurt Angle? I think it was. I think that was the same night that his game theme debuted. Joseph Stewart with the $4.99. Do you remember Stone Cold Steve Austin's first WWE theme when he was managed by the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase? I remember it wasn't very good. I remember that. Honey, deep fried chicken. I'm making two bold predictions. One, I'm picking Jimmy Uso to win the King of the Ring. And two, The Rock and Ricky Saints will have a viral interaction. I think that your second bold prediction is more likely than your first one. Nick Grasso, what if the Intercontinental title match at WrestleMania is Breaker against Dom against Balor in a triple threat, and that's when we get the split with Dom and Balor? Also, rest in peace, Roberta Flack. Yeah, you know, I hadn't thought about that as a three-way. I was kind of thinking Balor against Dom, but you could do that. What about Sheamus, though? What about our boy Sheamus? Is he off the WrestleMania card? Is he just not going to be on there? His story will have to wait another year to be finished. Probably, because honestly, Breaker is really being positioned in more of the babyface role now. So it doesn't look like it's going to happen. Hydrograd says, what a main event. Those women killed it tonight. Also, I will always appreciate a Heat reference. Easily top 10, maybe even top 5. Personal favorite movies of all time. Such a great movie. It's such a great movie. And the bank robbery scene. Even the song they used at the very end of the movie. It was a Moby song. Remember Moby? Nick Rosso says, I don't know if you saw the videos of DDP working with Lex Luger to help him walk again. I did see that. DDP already has Luger standing on his own. Great to see. Next stop, Hall of Fame, maybe this year or 2026. My understanding is that Luger was able to sometimes stand on his own, like at home. Maybe I'm wrong. I did see the video, though, where he's helping him up out of the chair, and then he sits down, and he's helping him up and down and up and down. He's trying to get him walking again. It's tough, though, because, you know, he suffered a lot of nerve damage, and that was many, many years ago. Basically, I think what happened was he had like a spinal stroke. You know, it was many, many years ago. That's what happened. And he's been in a wheelchair ever since. But I'll tell you what, if anybody can help him get out of that chair, it's DDP. I don't know if they have the Warrior Award anymore. But if they do, they should rename it. They should call it the DDP Award. For all the work, all the good work that guy's done. We have Janelle Grant with a 99 cent super chat. Well, you know, she didn't get the other $2 million that she was owed from Vince. He reneged on his agreement, and I guess she doesn't have a whole lot of money left, so I appreciate her being able to spare 99 cents at least. It's very kind of you. Bobby Means, I'd wait and do Mommy and Bianca in New Orleans. WrestleMania 42, give it a year and build up to it, because a month is not enough. It would feel rushed. That's my only fear. That's my only fear in doing it, but fuck it. I'd still take the match this year. I would still take it this year. Edward Brooks, $5 super chat. It is odd that both challengers and champions after Elimination Chamber could be face versus face matches, but they do have 7 weeks more to build to Mania to change it up. They do. Crazy. Do you have a Discord? There is a Discord. It's not really active at the moment. But there is one that I set up some time ago. It's not public. You would have to be approved. But again, there's not really any activity in there right now. I mean, if there was enough of a desire for one, maybe I would open it up. But we'll see. I mean, I'm open to the idea. Super Pony, Kevin Owens needs to beat Sammy. He just lost to Cody 3 times. He cannot lose again. You should change your pick. I am not changing my pick. King Chris Unfiltered with 23 months of channel membership. For some reason, it seems your channel is shadow banned from my algorithm. People say that every now and then. I don't know. I think it's just a glitch in the system. It doesn't happen for everybody. So I can't explain it. YouTube is very, it's very frustrating sometimes. Like, I'll go live and I'll get messages from people like, dude, I didn't get a notification. I'm subbed. I didn't get an email. I didn't know you were live. And I'm pretty much live at the same time every week, but like if there's breaking news or if there's a pay-per-view at an odd time and I go live after the pay-per-view, you kind of have to stay on top of things. But definitely, again, it's one of the reasons I tell people to stay sub to the channel, because outside of those few who don't get notifications for some reason, you do get notifications. You should. If your bell is on when there's new content, new live stream, if you're subbed, you should get notified. Ragnarok. You could get a few matches out of Obafemi against Moose, an NXT PLE, TNA pay-per-view, and then maybe NXT TNA Worlds Collide. Looking forward to the match. The match is coming up very soon. I don't want to give any spoilers away, but the match has been made, and it is coming up very soon. Tonga Loa Superfan. Toronto is famously known as a hotbed for Tonga Loa fans. Do you think Tonga Loa is going to be the surprise 7th entrant in the Elimination Chamber and blow the roof off there? Oh, that would blow, for sure. I don't know about the roof. Maybe Tonga. I'll become a big Tonga Loa fan if he attacks Logan Paul on his way to the chamber and jumps into his pod and steals his spot. Like, locks himself in the pod like Edge did that time. I, too, will become a Tonga Loa super fan if he does that. King Nader, $50. My goodness. Let the neighborhood know, a $50 bomb. You love it when you wake up the neighborhood like that. From King Nader NZ, buy or sell. Best theme song, Christian's At Last or Matt Hardy Live for the Moment? Matt Hardy Live for the Moment would be my preference. Eminem with the $25 Brie mode. You can't have a stream without Brie mode. Now that Liv and Raquel are the new women's tag team champions, is there a chance that Twisted Bliss for the belts at WrestleMania? Are you fucking kidding me? I'm still reeling from this Brie mode that I am actively reading right now. And I get hit with another one. Yes, I think there's a chance. Clearly, we have glitches appearing on screen, you know, whenever Alexa Bliss is on TV. So there's going to be some kind of connection with the Wyatt Six. Alexa and Nikki together as a team again, challenging for the titles. Yeah, of course, I could see that. I think it's even actually very likely. Best song to play on the stream: Red Line, Back to Love, or Atlantis? I mean, Red Line is a classic. I love Back to Love, though. I know Trill Mexican does. I got to go with the classic, man. I got to go Red Line. This Journey Called Life. Should they change the day and location for the Hall of Fame? I don't think they've announced the day and location for the Hall of Fame, have they? I think they should do it on Thursday that week. That's what I think. Have the Hall of Fame ceremony on Thursday. Alex, haven't dropped a super chat in a while. Been going through a rough spell with pneumonia and the flu. Holy shit. Talk about a double whammy. Thankfully, Raw and your review have lifted my spirits tonight. Alex from Maine. Well, Alex, I hope you get better very soon. I mean, one or the other is bad enough to get hit with both. I don't know if you have them at the same time or if it's back to back, but that sucks, dude. I hope you get better. Get well soon, my friend. That is no fun. Hopefully you don't sound the way that I sounded a few weeks ago. Base Beer says, what if Rock caressed Austin's face? Well, he doesn't have to. I mean, they sang Margaritaville together on the go-home show to a Survivor Series pay-per-view when they beat the Alliance. The big go-home segment was Austin and Rock singing Margaritaville. Matt Fisher, sometimes love is like a slow dance. You can tiptoe around, but don't make a sound. You make the little sound of romance. But sometimes love sounds like a fight. Sounds like an argument. It sounds just like a pile driver. You know, until that last line, I had no idea what you were talking about. And it just hit me. Like, I could hear Coco's voice in my head with that last line. That's actually a great song. I'd love to play that on the stream if I had the rights to. Alex with the 25. You can't have a stream without two Brie modes. If we are going to depend on The Rock to sell tickets, should we be concerned that the business boom in WWE might be slowly fading away? Can this sustain into 2026? I mean, it's not like they brought The Rock back because business was suddenly going down the tubes. They were going to make money and do just fine without him. They'll probably make more with him. I really wouldn't read too much into him being back as any kind of a bad sign. But yes, I mean, if they felt as if they had to rely on him, then that would be a bad sign. I don't believe it. We're at 482 likes. We're almost there. We need 500. Super Pony. The Jets are winning the Super Bowl. I'm not high. You're right. You're not high. You're just drunk. How many of those Terramanas have you had? How many shots of Terramana? Are you feeling the mana? I think Super Pony is a little high on the mana tonight. Is what I think. Bron Bron, it's about time you get a job at WWE. We want Solo. Why would you want me to have a job at WWE? Then I couldn't do these streams anymore. Base Beerus, I want your soul. S-O-L-E. Tony Atlas and Rumplemane. Can you imagine if you got Tony Atlas and Rumplemane in the same room at the same time? I don't want to know how that would turn out. Matt Fisher, 25. Matt, thank you, Matt. Matt's been killing it tonight. Serious question. After watching the promo last week, can it be safe to assume Dwayne can do whatever he wants? I didn't need that promo last week to tell me that Dwayne can do whatever he wants. I knew that at least as far back as last year, if not earlier than that, that Dwayne can do whatever he wants. This only confirmed it. Alpha Kenny Body AEW says, do you see Kaiser challenging Braun now? No, I see Kaiser challenging Penta and Penta beating him. Manuel, any tips for what I should do in Vegas? It's my first time going and I feel like I would regret not exploring and just making it about WrestleMania the entire time. No, I think you should definitely do other things, non-wrestling related. I'm not a Vegas expert. I've only been there a couple of times. Some of the things that I did there, you may not want to do. I mean, I'm not going to get into that, but like, they have shows. They have all kinds of entertainment. I don't know if you're a big gambler. Obviously, you got tons of casinos there. I'm not even really a gambler, so that doesn't really appeal to me. They have other activities out there. My friend went out there once with his brother, and they did some kind of racing. They had some kind of racetrack. He's big into cars, and so they were doing that. Yeah, I mean, just look into some of the shows and stuff. I know that he went to one. It was The Price is Right. I think he may have been picked as a contestant. He still had his name tag. They have all kinds of stuff like that. Maybe a comedy show. I would look into stuff outside of wrestling for sure. Don't just go and do wrestling stuff, especially if you've never been there before. Like in your case, it's your first time. Yeah, Chris Angel, they have like magic shows. Manuel, will WrestleMania 41 sell out? Tickets are low for it, 45,000. I don't think it's going to sell out. They'll end up moving more than 45,000 per night, but they're not going to sell it out. Retro KOH, what is the name?
The best moveset.
He's got the best moveset. What is the name of the song that you play on the outro with the Outrun car? It's my favorite outro. It's called Retro... No, it's called 80s. It's production music. Production music. You got to pay for it. So it's not readily available, but it's 80s. That's what it's called. Tracking problems. Kaiser looks like the greased up deaf guy from Family Man. From Family Man? Family Man or Family Guy? Matt Fisher, what's more memorable, Elix Skipper cage walking into a Hurricane Rana or Jeff Hardy's whisper in the wind off the cage onto Umaga? Oh, it's Elix Skipper. It's not even close. Elix Skipper, that spot is one of the top, I don't know, at least five, if not three, honestly, just craziest spots I've ever seen. Still, to this day. How he pulled that off, I'll never know. Super Pony, I live in Vegas. This place is a dump. I hate it. Yeah, but I feel like you live there, so... you're gonna feel that way. You're desensitized to it all. Plus, it's always hot. Right?
Although, it's a dry heat. It's a dry heat.
Out of here. Heat is heat. The problem is the first time I went, last time I went was the first Double or Nothing. First time I went, it was in July. So it was literally 112 every day. So I tried to walk through the casinos since they're basically next to each other and they're air conditioned. Dry heat or no dry heat, heat is heat. I like the Michael Mann heat. I don't like the heat in Vegas. Not in July. As a resident of Michigan, wet heat is so, so much worse. Oh, I'm sure it is, but just because it's a dry heat doesn't make it that much better. It's still uncomfortable, you know? There are certain times a year, certain places you don't want to be there. You want to avoid certain places, certain times a year. Innuendo says, I love you, Solo. I love you too, Innuendo. The traffic cone is the Las Vegas official flower. I thought that was the New York City official flower. Retro says, no, Solo. Heat is not heat. Humid summer heat in Vietnam is absolute hell. I would rather deal with dry heat. Again, there are degrees of heat, and I'm sure you would rather deal with that than Vietnam heat, but I'm just saying, it's still very uncomfortable. I don't want to deal with any of it. That's the point. I'm a big air conditioning guy. Oh my God, it's Winky with the $2 super chat. Speaking of hot, how about the Solid Monster? Oh wait, I read that wrong. I'm sorry. No, he says, speaking of hot, how about Thunder Down Under? What about it? I don't know what I'm supposed to respond to that. All right, well, we are at 507 on the likes counter. So we did smash the goal. So give yourselves a round of applause. Do appreciate that very much. One round, because I realized I forgot to set a super chat goal tonight. So we'll do the one round of Be the Booker. We're going to try to make it a good one too. Alan Alec, where does the GOAT Randy Orton fit into WrestleMania? It should be Kevin Owens. Don't know if they would turn it into a multi-man with Sammy, but Kevin Owens is the one that makes the most sense for that. Let's be the Booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the Booker.
There she is, one half of your new women's tag team champions, Liv Morgan. Liver Morgan. Now we be the Booker. Be the Booker. That's what we're going to do. And we're not off to a great start here, folks. We are not off to a great start. The former Tex Slazenger and Shanghai Pierce. Right? Those were their names in WCW. But then later on, they became Henry O. Godwin and Phineas I. Godwin. Get it? Hog and Pig. The Godwins. And the Godwins are going to step into the ring with, oh my God, where is Tongaloa Superfan? Where is Tongaloa Superfan? It is the Gorillas of Destiny. We have a couple of gorillas and we have a couple of hogs and pigs. It's a hoedown here in Be the Booker. It is Tama Tonga and Tongaloa. He's going to hate me for this. Sorry, I gotta call it like I see it. I'm not booking this match for Hog. I'm not talking about the other Hog that we just landed on my Hog. Well, not my Hog. That sounds lewd. the promotion Hog. Not a match that I would book. Oh my God, I'm gonna get myself in trouble here. Let's move on. Good Lord. Good Lord. Women's Be the Booker. You leave my Hog alone. All right, here we go. Women's Be the Booker. We begin with Alba Fire. Alba Fire. Where's she been? She lost her tag team partner. We haven't seen her since. Not looking good for Alba Fire. It is not looking good. Alba Fire against someone who also is gone from WWE, Carmella. Alba Fire is actually a very good wrestler. She had a great run in NXT UK. She can go. And Carmella also. Carmella can go. With the right opponent, she can go. I actually think this could turn out to be a pretty good match. So, therefore, I give it the bell. Apparently, Carmella posted on Instagram tonight that she is going to be doing a podcast. She did not say which one, but she's going to be doing a podcast later this week to, I guess, explain the situation or however she phrased it. So, I guess we'll have to stay tuned. See what she has to say. Should be interesting. We begin our main event with the original bro. Matt Riddle is in the main event. But who will Matt Riddle be facing? That, my friends, that is the question. Matt Riddle will take on Rey Mysterio in our main event. Did that match ever take place in WWE? I don't recall that even happening. I mean, maybe it happened on TV once and I don't remember, but I don't know that they have ever had a match. There's your Be the Booker here for Monday night. Not the best card in the world. In fact, that card was actually pretty weak, but that's the way it goes sometimes. WWE Wrestling and Gaming. Punk sells his soul, wins the title at WrestleMania. Cena chases Punk, wins Money in the Bank, and announces the cash-in for SummerSlam where he wins number 17 from Punk. I basically pitched that exact scenario a few months ago, but it was with Cena challenging Gunther for the world title at SummerSlam, which doesn't look like that's going to happen. But yeah, in this case, that would work too. Or you could have Cena win King of the Ring since it's something he's never won before. Could do that too. I think Money in the Bank works better though, and then he calls his shot. The way that RVD called his shot against Cena when they wrestled at One Night Stand. And Retro KOH. Retro KOH solo promotes his hog too much on these streams. Damn y'all, time to go to bed. Well, I mean, hey. If you got it, you flaunt it. That's what you do. I'm not going to apologize. You would too. Thank you, guys. This was a fun stream tonight. I hope you all enjoyed it. I'm going to be live with you back here on this channel on Wednesday night for Dynamite, the post show. I'll be on with JD on his channel for Tuesday Night Titans tomorrow, but then Dynamite on Wednesday and live after SmackDown on Friday, the night before the Elimination Chamber, and then on Saturday after the Chamber is over. The Chamber has a 7 o'clock Eastern start, so my guess is I'll be live sometime around 10:30-ish. You know, between 10:30 and 11. And we'll talk about the show. Hopefully it's a good one. If you missed episode 902 of The Sound Off, also a good one, went up yesterday. We hit number 2 on the charts. The top wrestling podcasts in all of the U.S. We were number 2 behind, I'll give you one guess behind who. One of these fucking days, I'm telling you, I'm gonna take that top spot. One of these days. But being number 2, you know what? That's not a bad place to be. Be well. Stay safe. Have yourselves a great night. I'll see you guys back here on Wednesday night. Take care.